Another fine show brought to you by the Law of Attraction Radio Network. The Law of Attraction Talk Radio is the radio show that is changing the world through science and spirituality as we realize that our well-being and our happiness is through our own thoughts. The Law of Attraction Talk Radio, the Jules. Well, welcome to Law of Attraction Talk Radio. I'm Jules from beautiful Southern California. Thanks for joining me tonight or today or this morning or wherever you are. I've got a great guest from Australia, Ina Siegel, author of the best-selling book, The Secret Language of Your Body. And again, I found another great book that needs to be in every household, just like Louise Hay's Heal Your Body. This book goes into great details of the emotions that are contributing to the health issues. And Ina gives clearing exercises that can help you release these issues fast. So stay tuned for this incredible show on Law of Attraction Talk Radio. The University of Attraction. Where else can you take free, interactive courses from international scientists, medical doctors, spiritual leaders, and experts in the field of the Law of Attraction? At the university, you will have your personal questions answered, enhance your intuitive skills, communicate with the angels, fill your life with music, and free meditation and hypnosis downloads. Sign up today. Go to loaradionetwork.com and click on the University of Attraction. The doors are wide open, waiting for you now.
Greetings, I'm Dr. Bill Path, and I'm the author of the motivational book Moments of Forever. And I'm also excited to tell you that I'm now a faculty member at the brand new University of Attraction. In February and March, I'll be offering a course entitled Discovering the True Power and Importance of Being You. And among other things, I want to talk about the 6 essential elements for a more meaningful life. Now, if this sounds like something that would be of interest to you, I sure hope that you can join me for these sessions. The first class starts on Tuesday, February 1st. That's 6 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern.
This is Pat Lynn Kyle, and I'll be teaching a class at the University of Attraction. And I will be teaching why science is now saying you can teach an old dog new tricks. It's because our minds and our brains are plastic, and they can be rewired to anything you want. If you want happiness, if you want success, it is yours. In this class, I will teach you about the brain frequencies that will literally rewire your brain. Join me, and I will be with you at the University of Attraction.
Hello, I'm Melody Green from the Creative Soul Cafe. I can't wait to share with you my new workshop, The Soul's Journey. It's interactive, hands-on, and runs for 12 weeks at the University of Attraction. With discussion groups and weekly modules to download, we'll explore the hidden codes in your DNA and use my new tools, the Emotional Bagua, to help create your success. If you're ready to follow your passionate life purpose, claim your place at The Soul's Journey. Subscribe now.
Well, last week I had my first class with the red jeweled box, and what a great time I had. We energized the box, and now I'm anxious to find out what signs or manifestations popped up this week for everyone. Now, this is an ongoing class every Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. Pacific and 9 p.m. Eastern, and even 9 a.m. in Kazakhstan. And I'm saying that for my new friend Valentina, who joined us last week from there. And this week we have some incredible courses starting up with Derek Rydell about the law of emergence, Dr. Sarini Pillay about the biological effects of the law of attraction, and the precise instructions you can give your mind to start creating. There's going to be a class by Constance Arnold about how to manifest your life
in 2011. And we also have a class starting Monday with Mark Sussnow. And you've heard him on my show about dancing in the river. It's wonderful. He's going to be giving us all kinds of insights. So tune into that. And yesterday, I took Melody Green's class about the soul's journey. And it was phenomenal. Her class is literally bringing in the angels, and I loved it. Even if you miss the first class, you can listen to them and then come to the live classes and interact with the instructors. Ask personal questions for clarity. This is so different from our radio shows, and I am loving this. So come join me at the University of Attraction. Now, I want to mention some things that I feel have been going on in the universe. Something very fascinating is happening with the planet Earth. Remember the 5,000 birds that fell from the sky? And all those fish that died as well. Well, there has been much speculation about these happenings, but here is what I'm gathering and what feels right to me about it. The polar shift is occurring. You see, an airport in Tampa, Florida had to stop using the north runway because the shift in the magnetic poles. Changes in our planet's core are causing the north magnetic pole to speed towards Russia at nearly 40 miles a year. But the effects of the magnetic shift are being felt over 3,500 miles south of the Arctic at Tampa International Airport. The magnetic shift may sound dramatic, but it is slow pace, and the comparative of the Earth's magnetic field means people really have little to fear. A complete inversion of the magnetic poles would have a greater impact, though its effects would primarily be limited to the animal kingdom, with birds choosing to fly south for the summer and north for the winter, and herding creatures confused over the ideal habitat. The latest changes are the most dramatic in the last century. The pole had begun moving to the northeast at about 9 miles a year back in 1904, but since 2007, it's been racing towards Siberia by at least 35 miles each year. Sounds eerie with 2012 coming up, right? So, how does this shift affect us? Well, I personally believe it is bringing up intense emotions in every one of us. And it's very, very uncomfortable. Just like when we experience solar wind storms hitting the Earth. We can feel the effects of that emotionally, mentally, physically. If you've noticed that you've been on the edge lately, waiting for the next shoe to drop, trying hard to monitor your thoughts to be more positive, but noticing that it's getting tougher and tougher, feeling depressed and angry one moment and excited and happy the next, it may be because the shift of consciousness is taking place. Our emotions right now are being dragged up to the surface for us to finally accept them and let them go. So just ask yourself the question, how can I possibly shift my consciousness to a higher place without getting rid of these past issues? So it's necessary and it's uncomfortable. So take the time to evaluate your emotions. Stop yourself and ask why these uncomfortable thoughts are playing out right now. What is it that needs to be released? Think where these emotions originated in your life. Did you have the same feelings when you were a child or a teenager? Do you recall the same anger or fear or frustration that happened other times in your life? Then just release them, knowing that these emotions are so unimportant in the scheme of the rest of your life. Don't stay stuck in them. Simply release them. Forgive yourself and then nurture yourself. Do something good for yourself. Reward yourself. Because releasing that emotional issue, you did break through a major burden that has been plaguing you for years. You can, right now in this year of 2011, release these blocks faster than ever before. And dear friends, the universe is helping you every step of the way by bringing about these polar shifts and these windstorms, etc., that are forcing us to bring up these emotions and deal with them once and for all. No more taking them forward into new lives. We must deal and remove these blocks now. If you get nervous, just remember that we're all connected. Reach out for help to your friends, your families, or reach out to the angels or even your living angels. And know that we're all going through this. Me, you, and even your guru. Those who are willing to go through the uncomfortableness right now will be the ones who shift their consciousness. So get aligned, and above all, when you get upset, just go ahead and get upset. Let it come bubbling up, and then just forgive yourself, because you're doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing, and you are feeling exactly what you're supposed to be feeling. Because not only are we having a polar shift, we're having a human shift. And, my friends, I do believe as we release these emotions, we are on our path to a greater life than we have ever known. Isn't that exciting? Now, let's hear from our guest tonight from the Down Under in Australia. Ina Siegel, author of The Secret Language of the Body, is the creator of Visionary Intuitive Healing, an internationally recognized healer, professional speaker, author, and television host. A pioneer in the field of energy medicine, Ina's clients include doctors, CEOs, healthcare professionals, actors, and sports personality. She dedicates herself to assisting others in their journey of self-healing and empowerment. Ina is changing millions of lives all around the world, and her website is www.inasegal.com. That's INNASEGAL.com. Go and browse if you're able to listen to this show through the computer. Welcome, Ina, to Law of Attraction Talk Radio.
Thank you for having me.
How's the weather in Australia?
It's actually really nice and warm today, so I'm really enjoying it.
Great. Half of the world is freezing right now, so they're very envious. So let's talk about your fabulous book, The Secret Language of Your Body. Now, you're an intuitive healer. So how did you receive all of this information or discover it? Do you channel information?
Well, what I actually do is I tune in and I see things that are happening to a person inside their body on an emotional, mental, physical, energetic, ancestral levels, sometimes even past life levels, soul levels. So by seeing people for quite a few years, I would get a lot of information, you know, and I found that there were a lot of patterns that kept repeating. And then I was also exploring the body and trying to understand the wisdom and the intelligence of the body and how, you know, by understanding the function of what a particular organ or a particular body part does, it made me understand what type of thoughts, emotions, energies, experiences could be stored there as well. And so when I've just seen so many patterns of this, and I haven't just done this in Australia. I've been traveling for quite a few years and teaching both in Asia, in Europe, even in the States, in the UK, in the Caribbean. So as well as Australia, so I've got a really good understanding of what people experience in different countries, and I think that we are a lot more similar than we think.
Similar? You mean like our emotional issues?
Yeah, our blocks, what we really desire, you know, what we feel that we need to be happy, to be healthy, you know, so even though the cultures are different in different parts of the world, the desires, you know, and our emotional state is very similar.
Are you of the belief that our mental attitudes, our emotions, our stress that we put on ourselves is in fact responsible for our illnesses, our health issues, our dis-ease?
Well, I'm very practical, so I look at it from a perspective that emotions are just one aspect of what can contribute to our dis-ease in the body. I don't think it's the whole story. I think there are many other things, like I do think our genetics is involved in it. I think karma is involved in it. I think our family situation and how, you know, how we think, how we live our lives, our point of view, where on the planet we are living at this point, all of these factors play a role. And so I don't like separating things, because I think it's really about wholeness and understanding ourselves on a deeper level, and then working with all aspects of who we are, you know. So I think that diet has a huge impact. I think that our environment has a huge impact. I just think that at the same time, if we really start to understand our bodies, we can teach our bodies, because they are intelligent, to release a lot of toxicity, to let go of stress. We can literally reprogram our nervous systems to react completely differently to the circumstances in our lives.
So are you coming from the place that we are so powerful that we can heal our bodies?
I think that, again, it's such a big statement to say. So I think that there are different things that are involved in it, and one of them is whether karmically we're meant to heal, you know, or whether on some level we have decided that for our own evolution and for the evolution of other people, it would be better not to, you know. That's one aspect of why people may not heal. Then there are many others where people are not ready, they don't understand their bodies, they don't know how to access that wisdom. But I think that we have the potential to heal pretty much almost anything, you know, and there are miracles that happen that I've heard, I've seen. But on a practical level, if it's their time to die, or if it's, you know, like they're in their 90s and they get dementia or they get something like that, then they can still experience healing, but it doesn't mean it's going to be a cure the way people think it should
right.
be. So if we're going to talk about healing, I think that everybody can experience healing at any point in their lives, even at a point of death.
Ina, I'm of the belief that physicians or medicine does not really heal us. We are the only ones to heal us. They may be the tools, but we are the actual things, the beings that are healing ourselves, because it's our body. Am I correct in believing that?
In a sense, but I guess if we're looking at it from the conventional point of view, then most people would say, well, if we can take it further into surgery, you know, in which case a doctor is cutting the body, you know, and or a surgeon, and taking something out of the body that we are not doing ourselves. So I think it really depends from what perspective we are looking at this. And, you know, I guess I was mentioning the medical model of what they think a cure is,
uh-huh.
which is very different to when you go down the path of a healing model of what health is and what transformation is. And they're just different ways, you know. And sometimes people choose to go one way or another way, or combine the two together.
Right. That reminds me what Bernie Siegel says, that death and dying is not a failure. It's simply a continuation of the journey. And this kind of fits into what you're saying, is that we're doing things and healing our bodies if it's a part of our journey.
You know, and it's such a huge subject, that subject of death and dying. And I'm actually writing a new book as well, and it's one of the subjects that I've been exploring, because I have to say, a few months ago, my grandmother passed away, and in terms of healing, the last month of her life was the most healing month of her life. She was the most open. She felt the most, the deepest love. She communicated, with everyone. She actually sat there and did the processes that I taught her. In fact, it was really sweet. My aunt told me that a few days before she died, my aunt came over to see my grandmother. And my grandmother started crying all of a sudden. And my grandmother had never cried as long as I've known her. And even though she has gone through the war and she lost 6 of her siblings and her mother, and, you know, she's had a really pretty traumatic experience in her life, or many of them, I should say. And so all of a sudden, my aunt turned around and my grandmother was crying, and she said to her, "Why are you crying?" And my grandmother said, "Because Ina told me it was a good thing to do." And I told her that because I said that part of her cancer that she had in her body, was the reason for it was because she could never communicate and express the pain that she felt about losing her family and what happened to her. And so it was the cancer manifested in her leg so that she couldn't move forward until she was willing to feel it.
I went through a similar situation with my father dying on Thanksgiving Day, and I saw him on a daily basis actually do a lot of mental healing of situations that had occurred throughout his life, and especially the last week, where he was really telling us the family history about how he met my mom, and basically the history of his parents and his grandparents. And it was the fact that he knew he was going to die that led him, or kind of pushed him, into that mental healing. So there was a definite purpose in it all. You know, I know people from outside of the U.S. definitely have some great opinions when it comes to our state of healthcare in the U.S. And today, actually, there's a great big fight in Congress about it. I'm just wondering what your take is on healthcare. Should we have it? Or should we not have it? Should we depend on it, or should we not depend on it? Being an intuitive healer, what's your take on it?
I think that healthcare is really necessary, but I also think that we need to start taking care of our own health from within, right? And so we can always, you know, debate and think, well, should it be this way, or should it be a different way, or what's going to be the best way of doing it? But whichever way it turns out, you know, as long as we feel like we have to put our health into someone else's hands, we are not very empowered.
Right.
But if we can understand this whole debate involves each and every one of us, and what it involves is for us to start to look within and go, okay, how do I take care of my health? How do I start to understand my body? Where am I involved in this? Is my body just a machine that I can keep driving or pushing until it breaks down? Or is my body and my health something that I need to start taking care of before I get sick? You know, and before it breaks down, and should I start listening to my intuition and my internal wisdom? How do I, you know, be surrounded by stress, because stress is not going to go away, because there's always something that is challenging or goes wrong, or somebody says something to us that we don't like. But how do we get back to holding the place of peace, let's say 70 or 80% of the time in our bodies, and letting our bodies become stronger and healthier no matter what is going on. So, you know, and that's really where I want to point people at, because it comes back to our own responsibility. And, you know, I know a lot of people talk about responsibility and emotions, and I don't look at it as in terms of, okay, something happened to you, so now you should feel guilty or blame yourself or, you know, kind of drive yourself crazy or be hard on yourself because something has happened in the past that you cannot go and change now. But what I do say to people is we can take responsibility from this moment in terms of exploration, and we can forgive ourselves for what has happened and surrender and move on and really work with our own emotions and see that they're not there to harm us or to stop us from doing things, but they're actually there as signs which say, wake up, listen to me, however you are moving in your life is not the way to do it. Communicate more, connect with other people, share, be real, be who you are.
Well said, I concur. Let's talk about intuitive healing. Do you need special abilities to do that?
Well, I think that the special ability that we need to have is the willingness to do it. So when you're going on the journey of self-healing, you cannot, get anyone else to do it for you. You can get help, you can get assistance, but you know, your biggest thing is your willingness to be open, to explore, and to give it time, because I think that so often now we just want things instantly. And the body is something that is your life. You know, this is where your life force is stored. And so it's really an opportunity to go within, you know. And so I think that everybody can do it if they're open to it. You know, I've seen children do it. I have children. They are constantly exploring their own intuition and body, and, you know, like they come out with some pretty interesting insights themselves. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, there are very simple things that we can do, like, you know, to connect to our bodies, we need to breathe, and we need to breathe slowly and deeply, because we need to awaken our body and we need to awaken our energy. And so what I found was that even when people didn't feel much, or they've suppressed their energy and their emotions, and they've pushed things away, and they would tell me, I don't know how to do this, or I'm not good at feeling, or I can't do that, if I would get them to get up and start shaking their body, right, and moving and getting their blood and their energy to circulate and becoming aware of that circulation, you know, and going between the movement and the breath, and then I got them to sit down, place their hands on the part of the body where they felt tension or pain or something that they needed to explore, start breathing there and asking questions like, if there was an emotion or feelings that were stored in this part of my body, and it's not one emotion, usually it's a combination of several, what would they be? What would be the strongest one? Where would it come from? If there was a thought pattern that I was experiencing that was making me feel stuck or making me feel unwell, what would it be? Where would it come from? You know, if there was an experience from last week or from my childhood or from somewhere in my life that contributed to this pain or this tension, what would it be? You know, and it's really about exploring how we live our lives. And when you start to do that, and you do this every day or, you know, several times a week, you become very intuitive and you start to really listen to your body and understand what it's trying to show you and how it's guiding mm-hmm. you.
What are some of the common factors that lead people into becoming ill?
I think that one of the biggest factors is thinking, is running around, rushing, working too much, not not giving yourself a chance to slow down, relax, breathe, feel, understand what's going on in your body, take care of it. You know, when even with eating, when people are rushing, they're not chewing their food, they don't even know if they're tasting their food. And so it's like, you know, a lot of our thoughts, emotions, and experiences are, you know, they affect our digestive system, you know, and same with food. And so when we can't digest our food and we can't digest our experiences and we can't digest our emotions, everything gets stuck. And rather than helping our bodies heal and become stronger and healthier, which is, that's my understanding, is that as you go along, you should improve. You should improve in your health, in your, you should be wiser, you should have more fun, more lightness, which is not what most people experience as they, you know, get older. And so I think that the burdens, the stresses, the fears, you know, the, and a lot of the fears are not even real, they're imaginary, the making up stories about what might happen, all of these things contribute, and then having a really limited negative attitude, and, you know, and then being in an environment that's toxic. So if you are already tense and stuck and fearful, and then you eat unhealthy food, and then you're in an environment that's unhealthy, all of that has a huge effect and makes people degenerate much faster.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, they're doing studies right now that show if you eat real food, nutritious food, vitamins food, it actually has the energy within the food, and that helps your well-being. But eating processed food does the opposite. Is that what you're finding to be true?
I actually do, you know. I'm a vegetarian, so I don't eat meat, and I try and eat a very clean diet, and I know that there is a huge difference between when I'm eating food that is more simple and pure than when I'm eating food that is fatty or, you know, has chemicals in it or things like that. I really, really do feel it, and obviously, you know, it also has, it connects to what state you're in. So if you're happy and you're eating food, you know, at that moment that's not fantastic, it's not going to be as damaging as if you're feeling really unhappy, you know, and eating the same food. But I do really think that, you know, one of the things that I found when I was in America was that it was much easier, I thought, to be healthier than in many other countries that I've traveled to in the world, including Australia, because you have whole foods and you have, you know, there's so much choice.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think really, you know, if you want to be healthy, there's very little excuse in why you can't be, especially if you live in America and you can go to Whole Foods and get some healthy organic vegetables and fruit and, you know, and food.
You know, surprisingly, there's been a real shift in the attitude of the way that I'm eating. I have noticed that I am now repulsed at any animal product. I cannot even eat fish or chicken or forget beef or pork. I just can't do it. It makes me sick just to think about that. So I'm now only eating grains and vegetables and fruits, and it's really great. I think that is part of the shift of consciousness, and that's part of getting into the real foods. This is naturally occurring with people. There are now studies showing that people eating unhappy animals, in fact, lower their energy levels. This just makes perfect sense to me. You know, out here in California, we make a big deal about having cage-free eggs or cage-free animals or organic animals that you eat. Right now, it's about increasing your energy, your vibration, And you can't do that by ingesting sick and unhealthy animals. Just can't be done.
I do think that it has a huge effect. I think that any living thing, or sometimes even an inanimate object, if you, and I'll give you a little story about that, but with a living thing, like, if it's going to feel trapped or limited, of course it's going to have those emotions and they're going to affect every organ inside the body. But even with inanimate objects, I was in Queensland in Australia last year, I think it was, and there was a woman there that I was staying with who's a psychologist, and she's very open and she helped me with organizing some workshops, whereas her husband is very skeptical. And it was pretty cold because it was winter, and we went upstairs and she couldn't put the fire on, you know, because there was something going on with her heating system. And he said, oh, it's broken. And she said to me, come on, let's heal it. And I thought it was quite funny, you know. And so we just literally rubbed our hands together. We visualized the color. I think it was red. And we just sent the energy, you know, to her fireplace. And then, you know, 10 minutes later, she said to her husband, go and turn it on. And he's like, you're crazy. It's not going to work. You know, there's no point. And then she said, just do it. And he did it. And it worked.
Wow.
And he was like, you know, I should get Stephen King to write something about the two of you.
That's good. You know, you write about being healthy on the inside and out. Does that mean that you need to be dressing the part as well? I mean, colors, do they affect our health?
I really believe that it does. You know, when I was doing my research on colors and color healing, and now I'm going to have the secret language of your color cards coming out in America soon as well. And what I found was that when people were wearing a lot of black, and gray and brown, which I know a lot of people in the world like to wear, the people who were doing that were getting a lot more tired. They were getting tired a lot faster. They were feeling drained. They were feeling like, you know, it's almost like if they're in an environment which was negative, it was like they were pulling all the negative energy into themselves. And it's true, black is a great color for very short periods of time, you know, but I think that long term it's a very draining color. And so I think it's the color, it's the material that we wear, you know, it's also how I think clothes is also about creativity and self-expression. And you know, it was really interesting because when I first came to America, everybody, my publicist at the time, was saying to me things like, well, you need to look really professional and you should wear black and you should wear this and that. And I said to her, but I'm talking about color, you know, and she actually couldn't understand it. But what I found was there is that thing about looking professional and then there is the opportunity to be who you are. And through our clothes and through our how we look, you know, and even our hair and our appearance, we share with people a lot about ourselves, you know. And so, again, those impressions and those energies that go out into the universe and into, you know, what people read them, they give us feedback, you know, and they also create our life. And so what I say to people is the outer success and your outer beauty is also really important. You know, it's important in how you feel. It's important in how you kind of what you manifest in your life. It's important in terms of your confidence.
You know, that makes sense. One of the things I loved about your book is that it has short processes you can do after discovering the root cause or the emotion attached to it. And I thought this was fascinating. Could you perhaps show us or give us an example of a process that people would do to kind of clear that energy?
Definitely. I think that in terms of finding out and exploring what is stored in different organs in our bodies, and which is what I one of the sections in The Secret Language of Your Body that I was exploring, I think that if we start to look at, okay, well, what is the role of my neck, let's just say, right? And we start going, well, you know, it's about flexibility and it's holding my head up and, you know, where is it? Well, the throat is at the front, the neck is at the back. Okay, so if we look at the front of our bodies is about what's happening with us now or, you know, in our recent kind of experience, whereas a lot of the things in the back are things that we've pushed away for a while to the back, you know. And so one of the things that I discovered, let's say with something like the neck, is that often people had neck pain because they were in relationships or they were pushing relationships away where there was something that was unresolved. And so even the saying that we have gives us clues, which is like the pain, he's a pain in the neck, or she's this, or she's the pain in the neck, you know. And it's like if we start to understand, okay, well, that's part of it. And then if the neck is about flexibility and then you're not flexible, you get stuck in your life, or you think it's only one way, then it's going to affect that part. Now, then if you're not communicating and not saying what you want to say, it's going to start affecting your throat and the neck, you know. And so we start looking at it in that way, okay, what are the shoulders for? You know, like the shoulders are kind of, you know, they're to balance your body. They're helping you. They help you with obviously rotating your arms and doing things. Again, it's flexible, but it's, you know, we know we've all been told like about carrying the world on the shoulders and, you know, the heaviness and, you know, I think in the past a lot of people carried things on their shoulders, you know. Then there's the hips, and the hips are all to do with our family and our relationships. And then again, we can look at, well, often women carry their children on their hips when they're little, and, you know, and it's like by understanding those things, we can start to have access to, well, what is going on in our bodies, what is stored. You know, like I said, the digestive system is about digesting. So if there are problems, it's because there are experiences that we don't know how to deal with or assimilate. And so we need to start changing and expanding and exploring and learning how to do those things.
What about the common cold?
I think often we get a cold one for several reasons. One, because a lot of people believe they're going to get it, at, you know, especially in winter. Two, because we start doing too many things and, again, don't give our bodies or our immune systems a boost and a chance to slow down and recover. Colds often happen when there is too much going on and it's almost like the body is going, you know what, you need a little break, let's just stop for a little while and give you an opportunity to get back into your body. And I also think often, you know, like sinuses and things like that have to do with both our intuition and not using it or blocking it or ignoring it, and also going, you know what, somehow I need my space right now, because if I, you know, if I'm sneezing or, you know, if I have a cold and I'm coughing, then people can't come too close to me, and maybe there's been too much going on and there's been confusion and too many people in my space and I just need a break.
Mm. What about a short process?
Well, we can do a general one. And at the beginning of the book, there is what I've done is I've given people a process that I used to actually, that is really simple, that I've used to heal myself originally from very bad back pain and pretty much a twisted back and digestive problems and anxiety and all sorts of things. And I also, when people buy a book, they can actually also download a free audio where I guide them through this process. But what I ask people to do is usually to find a really comfortable place to sit down or lie down where they are not going to be bothered and they can just have some time to themselves. And then I ask people to count backwards from 30, but let's say for this process, I would say let's count back from 5, you know. And so through that counting, it's like 5, take a slow, deep breath and just relax your body. 4, come back and put your attention inside. 3, close your eyes if you haven't and focus on wherever you have tension and take a slow, deep breath in. 2, just relaxing and softening further and further. 1, relaxing and opening yourself up to this few minutes of exploration. And then I'd like people to focus on an area of your body which feels blocked or where there might be some pain. And then place your hands on that part of your body and take a few really slow, deep breaths as you are just exploring what is the feeling, what is going on there. You know, it's like really putting the attention on there and then asking a question. If there was a message that this part of my body wanted to share with me, what message would it be? You know, and allowing the message to come through maybe as a thought, as an emotion, an image, or an insight. And again, just breathing slowly and deeply and giving yourself time for that kind of exploration to happen. And then I also encourage people to write down the message because sometimes it doesn't make sense at that point. Or it might be very obvious, and I ask people not to judge it. And then I also ask people to connect to their higher divine intelligence, and you'll find that I ask people to do that in almost every process. And it is something like this. So you would repeat with me, I call on my divine healing intelligence to help release any pain, blockages, stuckness, or density from this area, and you would allow yourself to watch and feel and sense as it leaves your body, you know, as it starts to release from your body, you know. And so, and then I ask people to breathe also by slowly arching their head back and kind of, and really taking those deep breaths in and then slowly kind of breathing out and curving their spine, you know. And then I ask them to rub their hands together, making sure that they are rubbing every finger, you know, and do that for about 20 to 30 seconds and feeling the tingling sensations in the hands. And visualizing, let's say, indigo or blue color, which are really helpful for healing. And then placing their hands again on, as they visualize it, on and that part of their body and really breathing in that color, you know, breathing in that color and, you know, focusing on that color going into the body and just really infusing it and clearing it and cleansing it. And then I ask people to repeat the word clear several times to start really clearing the body, you know, and like with that intention to clear whatever is stuck out of the body. So this is just a very simple, easy process that people can do.
For those who may be tuning in right now, this is Jules with the Law of Attraction Talk Radio, and we're talking to Ina Siegel about her book, The Secret Language of Your Body, and it is really a phenomenal book. I hope everybody gets it. Ina, let's talk about mental issues such as bipolar or manic depressive. Is there something that we can do about those issues ourselves?
I think that there are different ways, and I also think that it really depends in terms of where people are in their lives, how much they're affected, how far they're affected on that, you know, in terms of these mental challenges. And so if we're looking at bipolar, I talked about in my book about extreme imbalance, stress, trauma, because I have worked with quite a few people with that kind of physical ailment. And I often think that from what I've seen, that there's been a shock or something that has occurred during childhood, or sometimes some of those issues happen because people take drugs when they're younger and it really affects the brain and their mind. And so I think that, you know, it really depends on where the person's at, what they want to do about it, if they're willing to go within and start working on themselves and adjusting it, you know, like clearing some of the stresses and traumas and depression, and you know, that they can change their way of processing information. So I have definitely seen people do that.
In your book, you also talk about infinite intelligence, angels. Let's talk about this.
I think, again, this is it's a personal thing. And if people are open to that, if they're open to guides and angels, or if they're already aware of them, then I definitely think that it's a great thing to do, to ask for help. I also always say to people, make sure that if you're asking for guides or for angels, that these are the beings that come from the highest energy, highest vibration, the most pure, clear, and the most loving. So I really encourage people, you know, to interact with beings that are pure in that way. And, you know, I've seen it when I've done healing sessions for people. Occasionally their guides will show up, and I know that when that happens, very often their healing experience could be extraordinary, you know, because, and almost miraculous, or maybe miraculous, I should say. You know, and so I think that it's a beautiful thing to understand that we're not alone here. When I'm teaching my visionary intuitive healing modality, I'm definitely teaching people about guides and angels and how to work with them and how to open yourself up, as well as how to be very grounded with it and clear with it, and, you know, how to work with your guides and angels and other kind of energies in a safe way. That's what I say to people every, you know, all the time. Be willing to surrender and ask and go, okay, I don't know how to do this. Show me how. And, you know, I have so many stories about, like, incredible stories, even in my own life, of asking guides and angels for help, you know, including when I needed my book, when I had it published originally in Australia. I decided I wanted to have some pictures in the book of the body parts, and the person that I had thought would do them, when I finally got his pictures, they were weeks and weeks late, so it meant that I pretty much, the book had to be published within like 3 or 4 days afterwards. And when I received those pictures, it was Saturday night. I had to leave on Sunday morning. The book was going to be published 3 days later or something like that. It was going to the printer. And I looked at these pictures and I was so upset because they were just terrible, you know. And I felt like crying and I didn't know what to do. And I was so angry and upset that I literally went upstairs into my meditation space. And I said, okay, angels and guides, I need help. And I need it right now. I don't know how to deal with this situation. I don't know what to do. So I'm completely surrendering to you. You have 5 minutes to figure this out and give me an answer. So it was very specific. And it was just incredible. I got a message about 5 minutes later to go downstairs and sit next to my computer, which I did. And then I was told to put in medical artist into Google. I had never even, like, it never even occurred to me that there was such a thing as such a job as a medical artist. You know, I should look for someone like that. And I put it in, and this website came up with the most amazing pictures of the human body. And I said to my husband, and you know, I said to him, this is what I want. These are the pictures. And he said, well, you know, if you told me 6 weeks ago, maybe it would be possible. But now, you know, like, what are you going to do now? And I said, everything is possible. And so as I'm looking at this picture, I start scrolling down to see where this man lives. And believe it or not, he lives 5 minutes away from me. And so I called him, even though it was Saturday night, and he said, no, I'm busy, I can't, you know, come. And I said to him, you don't understand. This is an emergency, you need to come, you know. And so he came to my house, and we had a conversation about it. And I said to him, how fast can you draw those pictures for me? And he said, at least a month. And I said to him, no, you don't have a month. The longest you can have is 1 week, you know, because I would speak to my publisher and get them to wait. And he said, that's impossible. And I said to him, I'm sorry, but you don't understand. Nothing is impossible if you really want it. I'm like, even my experience of contacting you is a miracle. And he did it within a week. So
wow.
I know that guides and angels can be very helpful.
Yes. Absolutely. You know, I'm depending on my angels more and more every single day. We're almost out of time, but I do want to talk about your book once again, because I really believe the secret language of your body needs to be in every household, if only for the mother to understand what the child is going through. During their illness, you can pick up better what is going on emotionally and mentally with your child. The same holds true for a spouse or for a friend. For me personally, this book is going into my office where I could better understand what is going on emotionally with my clients.
Thank you so much. And I think it would be fantastic for people to get the secret language of your body and to really explore it with their family and their friends. And, you know, and even if you don't believe, try it. I've had so many people who didn't believe, just being open and trying and seeing such incredible results, you know, for their children and for themselves and partners and their partners, that I think, well, seriously, what do you have to lose?
What do you have to lose but the issue itself? That's true. We need to dive in and discover and release any of these issues right now, as I was talking about earlier. It's all about our shift of consciousness. I want to remind everyone to go to Ina Siegel's website to purchase the book and to find out even more information. That's www.inasegal, INASEGAL.com. And after you purchase her book, don't forget to download the special MP3 that goes along with it so that you can have added healing benefits. Thank you for being with us today, Ina. Really appreciate it and love, love, love your book.
Well, thank you so much.
Well, that's it for this week, dear listeners. Come and see me at the University of Attraction and help me with the Red Jewel Box. We're going to have good fun and we're going to manifest wonderful things. So until next week, I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back again next week with another great show. For more information, go to lawofattractiontools.com or contact Jules personally at jules@loaradionetwork.com.